There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Refuge.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to what we could only describe as the best round of football we have seen in a very, very long time. Four games of football, four glorious games of football. But we aren't here to talk about that. Here to help talk through all things fantasy pick'em is Archie. Welcome again.
How good is finals footy, Zano? I think I saw somewhere the combined margin differential over the four games was 35 points.
Yep.
Some close games. Unfortunately, mate, the West Coast Collingwood game was an absolute ripper, but we did come out on the wrong side of it, both for my Eagles and also for my bloody Pick'em team.
We'll get to more to that in a second, but yeah, I don't think most picked that one. Mind you, I did feel that over the weekend, for me, the West Coast Collingwood game was probably the hardest to pick a winner from, drilling into it,
yep,
but...
The two elimination finals, Zano, the Saints-Bulldogs game I found quite hard, and I obviously went the wrong way with that one as well.
Yeah, I did too, but the other two I was pretty confident on. And I expected both these games to be extremely close, which they were, so that's what I found them to be both so tough. But we'll get more to all that in a little while, because it wasn't as most of us expected.
Cool. And before we do jump into it, Zano, some things from the teams that were submitted. So if you are playing, just a couple of things to keep an eye on. Check the positional status, please, before you submit your teams.
Yep.
We had a couple submitted with, I think we had a couple submitted danger forward. We had a couple submitted where Ron Marshall was forward.
A few things like that, yeah.
And just that then. So just a reminder that the positional status is based on the player's position in AFL fantasy at the end of the regular season.
That's right.
And also, we did have a few coaches who submitted week one teams without doing the registration form. Look, no dramas there. We don't mind. We still counted them, everything like that.
Absolutely.
But what it does mean is that we don't have your contact details to send through your ineligible players. So I've put a post up at the OTLS Pick'em Twitter handle there. Just listing those teams that we don't have contact details for. If you could have a look and see if it's your team or if you know what team it is, please tag them and send us a DM through so that we can send you your ineligible players for the week.
That's right, because in the same theory, if you select another player that you've already selected, it'll come out as a donut for you. So need to make sure you're aware of who you can and can't select. Simple as that.
Cool. All right, Zano, why don't you take us through the round that was?
So, pretty easy here, Arch. Port Adelaide all the way back on Thursday night. I don't get the AFL sometimes why they had a Thursday, Friday, and two games Saturday, but we all know that. Port Adelaide defeated Geelong to move themselves into preliminary final. Of course, Geelong get the second chance. And Brisbane beat Richmond to move into the other prelim, which Richmond still get the second chance. We'll get to those in a second. Yesterday, the Saints beat the Dogs by 3 points in the first of the Saturday Heartstopper games, which of course means that the Dogs have been eliminated from the competition from a 3-point loss. And then, of course, last night, we're recording Sunday morning, the Pies beat the Eagles by 1 point in the second Saturday Heartstopper game, which means that the Eagles have been eliminated and the Pies move on. So next week, that leaves us with Richmond versus the Saints on the Friday night at Metricon. Really strange one there that Richmond actually chose to play at Metricon, Arch. But don't know their thinking behind that, but that's what they've decided to do. And Geelong are playing the Pies on Saturday night at the Gabba. So we also know that the two prelims the following week will be played at Adelaide Oval for the Port game and at the Gabba. So. All good there. But the best news in all of this, Arch, is we're actually going to know all four teams before the bounce down and lockout of the first game.
Yes.
So first time that's happened for us for a very, very long time, so we can actually plan properly. But
absolutely.
Nice to know. Absolutely. All right, Arch, you're going to run through a couple of relevant injuries for us.
Actually, Zane, I'm going to run through all the injuries, relevant or not, because there weren't that
very many. No, that's
and
right.
Even the guys that did get injured, there wasn't too much relevance there. So, no. Xavier Dersma, he got, mate, this poor bloke, he got KO'd twice in one go. He charged back into the pack, so very gutsy action there.
Yeah.
Got KO'd there when he ran into the backman there, and then hit the ground, and his head hit the ground as well. And then, actually, it may have been three, because his head hit the ground, and then the opposition player fell on him as well.
Yep.
So the Geelong guy fell on him as well. I can't remember if it was Blixarves or Stewart or someone like that. Can't remember who it was. But either way, he was not looking healthy. You would think, though, with a week off to the prelim, that he should be right to go with that one, unless he's got ongoing concussion symptoms.
No, exactly. And, yeah, it looked 2 weeks away till he plays again. You'd think he'd be all right by then.
Todd Marshall for the Power, he hurt his shoulder early in the game. He did play through it, but was clearly hindered by it. And unless you're really, really desperate, I don't think you're picking him anyway.
Nope.
Here's one that we'll keep an eye on. Joel Selwood had a busted finger. It hasn't come out officially, but there is notes that he's actually already had surgery on it, Zeno. So he's going to be touch and go, you would think, play on when did you say they were playing?
Geelong have the Saturday night game against the Pies. So I've heard that they've already said that he'll put a brace on it and play, or put a cover on it, or something on it like that. So they've already come out and said he'll be playing. So that means that he's definitely not playing, being Geelong. So definitely keep an eye on it, but also probably not overly relevant for this week anyway.
Yeah. In devastating news, Zano, and this poor bloke, he was in tears in the end of the game. Paddy Ryder, right at the end of the game, probably in the last 3 minutes or so, he did his hammy. Now, I did see, this was actually the first winning final he played in.
I know.
In, I think, 75 games, something like that.
Yep.
And you would like to think, look, I don't think it's spoiling anything to say that I reckon Richmond are going to knock the Saints off. So you would think that he's probably done. And Ryder had a rip. He was probably one of the best Saints on the ground. So that's devastating for Paddy, and he's going to make the Saints' task even harder.
Yeah, look, I'd say even if they get through to the grand final, that hammy looked pretty average. So bad enough to get scans. Yep. So you'd think it's 3 to 4 minimum, which means it's probably season over regardless, even if they manage to find a way to get to the grand final. But in saying that, yeah, I think you're right. Without him next week, then it makes the Richmond job a lot easier. So
the only relevance to this injury is that this dude has the same first name as you, Zeno. Zane Cordy, he was on crutches during the game with a foot injury. About the second quarter, he went down. Completely devastating for exactly zero fantasy players.
Yep.
Having said that, I didn't even think about that, but the Dogs got eliminated anyway. Exactly. I don't know why I put that on the run sheet.
And that's what I meant, they were irrelevant, but that's all right. It's mentioned and we can move on from it, so it's all good. all right, Arch, we're going to have a quick look and run through each line with the top scorers from each line from the weekend and a little bit of data around them. So we're going to start off quickly with the defenders. So top scoring defender was Daniel Rich with his 103, who, by the way, was only 9% owned.
Yes.
So that was an interesting one. Next was Caleb Daniel with 93. Now, I don't know the percentage, but he was highly owned, and a few guys even looped him as well off the bench, so that was cool. Hamish Hartlett, 83. I don't think one person owned him. Jaden Short, 83. I reckon I saw maybe one or two guys with Jaden Short, but wasn't highly owned. And Crozier had an 80 as a defender playing forward, so wouldn't have been owned by anybody. Now, the interesting part there is there's only one of those guys available to play this week, which is, of course, Short. So the other guys are all either been eliminated or have the week off. So that's interesting to see how we're going to work with that. Why don't you take us through the mids, Arch?
Zana, it's interesting you mentioned Dan Rich scoring 103. He was actually the only player to score over 100 this round.
Yes.
Which makes hard work of it. In the mids, we had a few decent scores there. So we had Mitch Duncan on 98, who was 0% owned.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Which was interesting. And we had Taylor Adams on 98, 5% owned. So, yeah, lots of players got one good score out of two there. Mm. We also had Rocky on 91, Gaff on 85, and Lyons on 84. Of those guys, we've got Duncan and Adams available this week. And really, it's just Duncan because the vast majority of the team actually used Adams' score. So
yeah.
for most coaches, it's only Duncan out of those top five scorers that we've got available to us.
Yeah, lucky I'm in the 25% that didn't go with Adams. I actually looped McRae, which kind of works out all right because it means I get McRae's 81 and I still get Adams this week. But I think Adams and Duncan are almost locks this week for most of us, I would have thought, if you hadn't started them already. So that should be a nice, easy one as well. All right, Arch, let's have a look at the rucks. So the first one, Big O, Oscar McInerney, was 92 he scored and was owned by nobody. Nick Nat,
zero.
Yep, Nick Nat scored a 90. Now, I think one or two guys might have started Nick Nat, but it wasn't very many. A lot had him as emergency. And as you mentioned earlier, Paddy Ryder had a 78, was one of their best, but of course got injured. So at this stage, we're saying that none of those guys are available this week because Big O's got the bye, Nick Nat's been eliminated, and Ryder is almost zero chance of playing with his hammy. So we're going to be scraping the barrel for rucks this week, I think, Arch.
Absolutely, and it's, well, we'll get to that in a minute, Zano. We got a bit of ruck talk there. I reckon this is actually going to be one of the easier ruck years that we've had.
Yep.
In terms of selection there. But, yeah, it's not going to – don't expect big scores, that's for sure.
No, that's – yeah. Mind you, there is one guy that I think is an absolute lock for this week off the back of Ryder, being that Marshall now will be predominantly in the ruck. And
correct.
He's the one guy that I think is a massive, massive must-start for this week if you haven't already had so.
All right. And in the forward line, obviously, we had Big O. He's ruck forward eligible, so he scored 92. Obviously, 0% owned. Membry – 80, and that was a big jump from Tim Membry. Now, this was interesting, Zano. We had a couple of teams that had him in. He was actually 3% owned.
Yeah.
And from memory, at least one of them was emergency cover.
Yes.
Through an incorrect positional status.
Yep.
So the only reason they got it was because they stuffed up the positional status. So in sometimes fact, making a mistake can be good.
In fact, who was it? It was possibly... Hang on, let me find
it. I think it was Russ, to be honest.
Was it Russ? Nope, it was Ando.
Ando. I knew it was a regular.
Ando, who happily selected... Now, we talked about earlier about making sure you select guys in the right positions. He actually happened to select Dacos and Billings as forwards.
Yep.
Who are both not forward eligible. And then Membry is his emergency, so he actually got covered off for Membry. So.
And I don't think Billings even played, so...
No, exactly. So he wasn't around much. I didn't have him, thank God, but didn't show up. So, yep, that was definitely an 89 coverage for Ando.
So we also had Zorko scoring 82 and then a couple of Eagles in Darling and Cripps. Now, Cripps has always been a favourite of mine in these sorts of games because he always solidly, I won't say always, but he generally scores solidly without being spectacular. So I was definitely looking forward to using him this coming up. It's just the bloody Eagles lost. So of those guys, only Membry is available for us this week.
Yes, yes. Which will be interesting because he'll probably be highly selected coming off a good week, considering that most of us will probably tip the Saints to bow out this weekend, I would think.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, now, some interesting notes. We delved into the spreadsheet this morning, Zano, and I. And came up with some interesting stats. Why don't you take us through, the captain selections?
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of gross in all of this here, Arch, let's be honest. But let's run through it. So captain selections for the first week. Trelaw had 12 people selecting him as captain, myself, yourself included. So 37% of people copped his 66, which, mind you, was an 8-point last quarter, thank you very much. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, he was on 58 at three-quarter time, and I thought, oh, he might squeeze to 80. Nope, thanks for that, Treloar. Taylor Adams, now 8 people had him selected. Now, when we get to the, and everybody sees the results, the difference this week was whether you had Adams captain or somebody else, basically.
Yep.
So that's the difference early on, is you get that captain right and you're flying from there. 25% people had him a captain. Grundy had 3 people captain him, and so did Hunter for 9%. So did McRae, sorry. So Grundy, Hunter, and McRae all had 3 at 9%. Not a lot. To, I mean, McRae was fine. The others were a bit nasty. Steele had 2 captain selections with his 73 from memory. So okay, but not great. And then Rocky had 1 person who I think looped him as captain, to be honest, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, yep.
Yep, and then Neil also had a captain selection, which was an average one. So there was a lot of gross in captains this week, Arch.
Yep.
So guys who had Rocky and Adams in particular definitely got a leg up. And then if you had McRae, you'd be happy with that. Outside of that, you were sort of scratching your head a little bit. So interesting. All right, Arch, let's have a look at, you've got some information here about the rucks and who was selected in the rucks for this week.
Yeah, so there wasn't a lot of variety, Zano, no. To be honest. And this is why I reckon that rucks are going to be actually quite easy this year, because there's actually a reasonable, there's now a reasonable list to choose from, and there's no going to be out and out superstars in there, let's be honest. So we had Grundy. Most people picked Grundy. He was actually 78% owned.
Yep.
So most people went Grundy there. Marshall, he had he was 9% owned, and the other 3%, so Nick Nat.
Yep.
Well done to that dude, because he's can, or the Marshall and Nick Nat owners this week, he'll bounce back and be have a little bit stronger of a score.
Yeah, you would think so. So, yeah, it's interesting in the rucks, because looking over who really sort of got left for the rest of the year that we could play, you've got Marshall, Nankervis, Lysette, and Big O. That's really it. Not much else to get excited about there, and we may need Big O on the forward line yet, so because that's where it gets really ugly as well. So, yeah, it's just a hint to note. Just make sure you've got a ruckman for the last week, because I don't want to go down that path like I did 2 years ago. Cool. All right, let's have a quick look at who's leading the leaderboard after the first week. So we've got David from Swanabees. He had a total score of 897. Now, he's got 7 ineligible players this week. Harley had from Long Sleeve Energy had an 894, also 7 ineligible players. And Bradley from Brad's Big Tacklers had an 889. He's actually got 10 ineligible players for this week. Now, I'm just going to quickly go and mention that the average score for the round was 823, and the average amount of ineligible players is 8 at the moment.
Yep.
So there's a few guys there that sort of running the gauntlet already by the looks of it.
Full leaderboard, Zano, I've tweeted it out this morning at OTLS Pick'em. So if you want to see where you're sitting in terms of the coaches, make sure you jump on there and have a bit of a look for that one.
Yeah.
A few other notes, Zano, just quickly. So very few Eagles mids or rucks were selected. So obviously there was a lot of faith that they would get through. 25% of coaches had Gaff. And then that was it from memory. There were no other Eagles mids selected at all.
No.
Obviously, we mentioned 3% had Nick Nat, but there was actually quite a lot who had Shepherd in the back line there, as
was.
Well.
There was a few with Duggan.
There was
somebody,
I think, that looped JJK. A couple of Duggans in there, but not a lot. Everyone was pretty much back in the Eagles to make it through. Only 9% of teams had both Hunter and McRae.
Yep.
So the vast majority, 91% of teams missed out on at least one of those scores. And Caleb Daniel, he was actually pretty highly owned. So well done to everyone that jumped on him for week one, with 50% of teams actually doing that.
He actually worked with part of my strategy this week, Arch, with the loopholes.
Yep.
Which I decided to put in all Dogs or Saints players as my loopholes. And then decide if they got knocked out, like McRae did. It gave me the chance to actually use his score and then hope somebody like an Adams got through, which happened, just to give me that extra little lift for later on. But that's where a lot of guys did it with Daniel. He was fairly highly loopholed throughout the round.
Yep. So that was it for week one of OTLS Pick'ems. It was a pretty fun week. Definitely enjoyed watching the footy. Not a lot of big scores, which was really interesting. I'm just wondering, we used to say, I think, from memory in OTLS Pick'em, I think we said 1,000 was a decent score, maybe even 1,100. But with the low scores and obviously Corona Ball, that's been affected, and it looks like 900 is what you're gunning for. If you have a 900 week, then that is a really, really solid score.
Yeah, so the average this week, ex-Corona, was 1,030, Arch. So I reckon that's about the mark that you would expect. Also got to remember that during finals, and we've noticed this during Pick'em for the last 4 or 5 years we've been running it, scores tend to, on average, be lower. Yep. Anyway, a lot tougher, a lot more intense football. And you do find that it's, what do we say, it was about an 11% difference last year for final scoring during normal season, something like that from memory. So, your normal 100 might be a 95 for finals. So you've got to keep that in mind as well.
All right. So let's now look forward to the week coming up, Zano. Now, you mentioned the matchups that are coming up, and we'll just reiterate that now because there's another little kink to take into account for people that aren't living in Victoria or New South Wales.
Yes.
And that is daylight saving. So Richmond v St Kilda on Friday, as you said, kicks off at 4:50 Western Standard Time, so our time. So daylight saving has kicked in. So for those in WA, I think Queensland doesn't have it. I'm not sure about South Australia. Just make sure you're double checking your times for the bounce down there for that one. So that's 4:50 Western time, and so that'll be 7:50 Eastern Daylight Saving.
Yes.
And Geelong v Carlton is 4:40 Western time, so Geelong. Again, 7:40 Eastern Daylight Saving time.
Geelong-Carlton, Arch, I'd love that. It's Geelong-Collingwood, so...
Geelong-Collingwood, sorry,
that's,
mate.
That's all right. Sorry, you had me mate. Excited for a second. I thought, geez.
Just trying to twist the knife a little bit there.
That's all right.
But we've also, just keep aware, because of this, they're still doing the rolling team names, so rather than getting all the teams on Thursday, because of the way we're doing it, we're still going to keep it as rolling lockout, as we said last week. Otherwise, we would... basically only have an hour for you to get your teams in for that second game. So we didn't think that was overly fair.
No.
So it's still going to be a full rolling lockout for week two.
Absolutely, and that should be
easy
to manage.
Speaking of week two, Zano, how are you approaching it? What's going to be your strategy?
So pretty easy from here, Arch. We sort of mentioned this last week. I think now you just decide who's going to win and then pick players from who's going to lose.
Okay, so let's explore that a little bit more, Zano. Who are you tipping to win? Are you tipping the two losers from this week that got through, or are you tipping an upset?
Nah, I'm pretty much myself. I'm going to be backing in Geelong and Richmond to get through.
Yep.
So I've gotten pretty much predominantly Collingwood and all, at the moment, I'm looking at my list, all Collingwood and Saints players. Look, there's no guts, no glory in this, Arch. We've only got 4 weeks to get it right. So we sort of said that that's a risky strategy because if it goes the other way, you might miss out on some plays you don't want to miss out on. But look, you've got to chase it, don't you? And that's the best way to do it. If you tip an upset, then it's a whole different story. But I'll be going in predominantly, if not completely, Saints and Pies. And then just working it out from there.
Yeah, look, I'm fairly confident that the Tigers will get through. I think they'll knock St Kilda over. St Kilda, obviously, valiant in week one.
Yeah.
But I can't see them backing up there against the against the Tigers there. Geelong Collingwood, look, I'm always wary of Collingwood just because of their their midfield depth and that sort of stuff. And that, I thought the midfield played very well last night against the Eagles. I still think Geelong just, but I wouldn't be surprised if Collingwood got through.
Yeah, for me, it's not so much about that. It's the fact that poor Collingwood have had to come over to Perth, isolate for 7 days, play a hard game of football, and then get back on a plane and then fly back again and go through all of that. I know Geelong went down to Adelaide, but I don't think the restrictions there are anywhere near as hard as what they're having to deal with in WA. So that's just where I think they're going to be impacted by it. I think they'll just struggle that way.
Do you listen to the Two Guys, One Cup podcast,
Zane? Occasionally when I get time, Arch. I haven't heard this last couple of weeks, though, no.
So they've been going on for years about a theory with Collingwood, and it's their backs against the wall theory,
yep.
Which is that Collingwood only really play well when their backs are against the wall. And if it's not this week, then I don't know when it'll be, to be honest. So, I mean, the good news, I guess, is that I've used most of my Collingwood players anyway.
So, yeah. Yeah, well.
So if I pick a few, I'm picking the Scraggers there, so I'm not going to be devastated if I don't get to pick them in the prelim week. But I think, yeah, I do think Geelong will get over, but it wouldn't surprise me if Collingwood do get up there.
As I said, all guts, no glory for me.
A couple of things to take into account, though, Zano. A couple of things I did notice from this week. Levi Greenwood tagged Kelly, Tim Kelly, kept him to 12 possessions. Who do you reckon he goes to? Is it Duncan or Meningola? Who does he go to?
I don't think there's any one person. I think the obvious one is he'll go to Dangerfield if Dangerfield's predominantly running through the midfield. That's the obvious one. The thing with Dangerfield is he can have such an impact up forward if he isn't in the midfield. Yep. So you might see Dangerfield start in the middle and then Greenwood go, and then Dangerfield get pushed forward and Greenwood go elsewhere. You could see the flip as well. You could see Dangerfield start in the forward line to try and upset them. Greenwood goes to a Duncan, a Meningola, or even a Guthrie, you know?
Guthrie would be interesting because he started out his career as a tagger.
He's been playing really good footy. So that'll be interesting to see. But I think you'll find that it'll be Dangerfield predominantly and then changing around depending where dangers are being thrown. So, I mean, you tag the best player or who you believe the best player is in the team, and that's Dangerfield. So that's that simple for me.
And Jarryn Geary was the other one. He did a forward tag, or tried to, on Caleb Daniel. It wasn't overly successful. He could look to do the same thing again this week on either Short or Hooley. Do you reckon it'll happen, Zano? And who do you reckon he'll go to?
He'll go to Hooley. Hooley's still the guy that they want the ball in the hands of. Until Hooley goes. Look, we spoke about this before in previous seasons about Short. Good player, and he'll take that Hooley role in full once Hooley moves on, whenever that is, this year, next year, whenever it might be. But Richmond want the ball in Hooley's hand every time. So that's where he'll go to if they're going to use a tag, for sure.
All right, and moving on to who we've got available this week, starting down back. So remembering that we need 9 defenders for the rest of the series. And as you mentioned before, Zano, we've only got Short from the top 5 scorers playing this week. So we do have some reasonable options. Now, Crisp and Maynard were very highly selected, so not a lot of people will have them available. But we do have Stewart, Short, Hooley, Tui. Hunter Clark scored very well, Zana. He's going to be Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield, I think, will be two of the more highly selected guys.
Yeah, Hunter Clark was really good early. And
Caulfield was a 65.
He threw out a bit of an anchor in the second half, but he was really good early on, yeah.
Yep. Chris Main, he was an in for the Pies this week and scored a solid 70. And Lockie Henderson also scored 74 for the Cats there. So there's some decent. It's not going to be too hard to get 3 out of that, don't think.
And look, the other one that you've got there is Noble as well, who I don't mind. Was a little bit flat yesterday, but he's had a pretty good season. So I've had him in a couple of keeper draft leagues, and he's been good a lot of the year. So he's one to keep an eye on as well, especially against the Saints, who tend to give up a bit of score to defenders. So he's one that I'll be liking as well.
All right, now, mid-Zano, what are your thoughts on them?
Looking over some planning for the entire season, I'm not worried about mids-Arch. We've got plenty available. There's always someone there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I've got 24 mids left up our sleeves that are available from all teams still in finals between now and then. So, yeah, look, I'm not... And they're all guys that you'd consider selecting if you needed to. So I'm not worried about the mids, Arch. As we know, a lot of people had Adams and Steele's out. Treloar was highly selected. Duncan will be highly selected. Guthrie. Look, we've got a huge list of mids to choose from. So I'm not too fussed. And then the following week with Port Brisbane, we've got a huge list to choose from as well. So I think this year, midfield, we don't need to worry too much about. We're going to find guys throughout the entire 4 weeks.
Cool. All right. Now, Rux, Zanos. Hey. We've got three left that we need throughout the weeks, obviously.
Yeah.
And so still in play, we've got Oscar McInerney and Steph Martin, who I must admit I completely forgot was actually playing for the Lions after being out most of the season. So they're still in play. And Laddams and Lysett, they'll all be available for us prelim week.
Yep.
Now, for this week coming up, we've got Grundy for the 12% of coaches that didn't pick him. He scored 67 on the weekend. On Marshall, who I agree with you, Zeno, I think he's the one that you've got to go to if for the few coaches that did pick him, they'll be going Grundy. So it'll be either Grundy or Marshall this week, but you can look at a Stanley or a Nankervis if you want, but I think you just keep them in your back pocket if need be, because there's a fair chance that one or both of Grundy or Marshall will be eliminated this week.
I think the prelim week's going to be the hardest week for a ruckman, Arch, because what my strategy is these days in the ruck is I'll be going Marshall this week expecting Saints to go out. I can't remember who crosses over where, but then the following week I will make sure that whoever plays each other, so say it's Geelong versus Brisbane,
yep,
I will not select from one of the two games. I will not select a ruckman. My ruckman will come from the other game.
Yep.
So at least then you've got two ruckmen playing each other that will get through. So yep. If I've already used Grundy and they get through, I will not be picking whoever plays against Grundy. That's who I will pick, sorry. That's who I will be picking. The other game, if there's two guys that I haven't picked yet, they're the ones that it doesn't matter who they are, I won't be picking them just to guarantee you a ruckman to get through. So I think there'll be more chat about next week about the ruckman. That's where it's going to be the hardest. So,
absolutely. All right, and last, down four.
So again, 9 weeks. As we know, Geary plays forward tag on Daniel, but it's pretty ineffective. But just be aware that he has had that at certain times. Forwards available. Now, again, I think forwards at the moment are pretty solid, Arch. I think the next 2 weeks after this, it gets really hard for us. Yep. I mean, you've got Dusty, Hawkins, Stephen, if he's selected, Parfitt, Bolton, Lambert, Myers, who had a shocker on the weekend, Ablett,
yes.
Butler, Degoe, Membry, Rioli, Castagna, Hoskin Elliott, Majacek. Now, to be honest, Dusty, Hawkins, Stephen, maybe Parfitt, maybe Lambert. There's not a lot of excitement out of there, really, is there? So
there's not. And even Jack Stephen, he did a hammy in the scratchy that they had.
Yeah, right.
So that's why he's very much, not only did he get dropped, but he got hurt in the backup game. So it's very much an if-selected option. He could be a good option. He might get a game in the prelim for us. If a Geelong forward gets injured, I can't see him playing this week, but moving forward, if he gets named, at least, hey, that's one we've got in our back pocket there.
Absolutely. Look, I don't think the next 2 weeks is going to be a huge issue for forwards. There's quite a few guys, and nothing of huge quality other than really Dusty and maybe Hawkins. Yep. They're probably the only two guys you'd expect that sort of 70-plus mark out of. Outside of that, it's all 50 to 60 sort of guys. So the next 2 weeks, I don't think it'll be a problem because we're going to have plenty of 50, 60 guys that you might get lucky with. Looking forward, Arch, if Brisbane and Port Adelaide make the grand final, that's where it gets really ugly because the only really decent forwards you can select are Zorko, Big O and Ebert. And then it is Duck Eggs after that.
Oh, you got my man, Zach Butters.
Oh, Butters, you've got
forward eligible.
Laddams, you've got Sam Powell Pepper, but you're not getting excited by that as at least lower premium guys, are you? So, and a fair few guys you've used Zorko and Ebert already. It's going to be really interesting, especially when you consider a lot of people with that theory I was talking about with the rucks. Big O might end up having to be used at the ruck at some stage as well. So it's not the next 2 weeks of forwards. It's that last round, which I think is going to be hard.
It's going to be tough.
Really tough to find. I mean, there's always going to be forwards there, but it's not going to be highest quality I think we've ever seen.
That's why we love this game, Zano. If it was easy, it wouldn't be any fun.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So we did put a shout out question. Had a little bit of notice there, and we did have one come through, Zano.
Yep.
So with the Saints and Pies, this is from Dottie yep. _31 on Twitter. With the Saints and Pies getting up, it's going to make picking a midfield tough for me personally. Innes is worth looking at to fill a midfield spot. He notes that he is already used steel. So I had a bit of a look, Zano. And here are your midfield eligible Saints, okay?
Yep.
Dunstan, not playing.
Not playing.
Steele, ineligible for him.
Yep.
Billings didn't play. So then you've got Zach Jones, who's a possibility. Gresham, who didn't play. You've got Seb Ross, Brad Hill, Hannes, Sinclair, I think, played. And then it's really not worth looking at. So, of those guys, is there anyone there that jumps out at for you?
Not overly, Arch. Look, I'm pretty sure Billings played, though. I'm just checking on that, Arch. He just didn't play well.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that he did. I'm just double-checking that. I'm sure that he played just very, very poorly. So, Saints, yeah, Jack Billings had a 55. So,
Oh, my bad.
He's available. Yep. Yeah, look, I've got selected, because I'm in the same boat, I've got Steele as well. Luckily, I've got a few... Yep. As I mentioned earlier, I've got a few Pies up my sleeve, which is really handy because I took McRae over Adams, so that gives me that this week. Really, Arch, the only guys that are worth looking at from the Saints are Billings, poor, Ross, being poor, and then Hill or Hanbury. You know, outside of that, it gets really poor really fast. Now, there's a couple of Pies, though, that I do like that may not have been selected. Like, Adams is probably gone. Treloar is probably gone.
Yep.
You've got a few guys, though, like Pendles wasn't highly owned.
Yep.
So he's an option. And Dacos as well. I'd be going Dacos still ahead of some of those Saints players. All of those Saints guys,
to
be honest.
Yeah, I like the look of
Dacos. Yeah, I'd be going ahead, bringing him in before the others. You might need him anyway, but... That's what I'd be looking at, because I'll be honest with you, other than Steele, there hasn't really been a lot of Saints in the midfield scoring well all year.
Call it nostalgia, Zano, but I reckon out of those other guys, Billings, obviously, if he can get his bum in there and get back to a bit of form now that I actually know that he's playing, and Hannes. Hannes is the one that I would... You know, he's performed in finals before. Granted, it was a long time ago when he actually had hamstrings.
Yes.
But he would be the one that I would be looking at for the Saints.
The big thing with Billings for me is he seems to be playing a lot forward with Gresham's after Gresham's injury. Which has killed his scoring in the latter part of the year. So if we exclude Luke Dunstan, Jack Steele was averaging 91 for the fantasy season. Next closest was Billings on 75. So... And then next, actually, that's the guy we forgot about, was Zach Jones. He's the other one as well. But again, he's been a bit poor of late. So, I don't think there's a lot in the Saints. I think you scrambled to... I think the leftovers from the Pies is probably better than what's available at the Saints right now.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
Beautiful. Well, that's it this week, guys. Gone through week one and looking towards week two of Pick'em. So thanks again. Any questions on it, or if you have anything, hit me up at OTSZano on Twitter. And keep on our overlinesports.com.au. Brought to you by Check My House Pros. We might actually have to get an article up with the results on there, Arch. That might be one of the best ways to view it as well. So
Absolutely. We'll
get something up there for sure. And as always, everybody, stay safe in this very, very strange world that we're living in.
Cool. At OTLS Archie on Twitter, and as always, we say it every week, if you are struggling, please, Lifeline is there, 13 11 14. Give them a call if need be. I will be sending out your ineligible players within the next 24 hours, so either today or tomorrow, Zano, everyone that we've got contact details for will get an email or a direct message from us just letting them know who is ineligible for them. If you do listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It is very much appreciated. Stay tuned. I will also be updating or tweeting out the link to submit your week two teams within the next 24 hours as well.
Yep, beautiful. Look, thanks everybody for tuning in and listening. We do love the Fantasy Pick'em, and appreciate everybody's patience in it as well, because it is a very manual process, isn't it, Arch, for us?
It is, and it's a good problem to have, but we've got, I think, a record number of registrations this year, which is awesome. It means that the game's also makes a lot more work for you and me, which we don't mind because, you know, we love it.
Absolutely, and as I said, anybody knows anybody that can program for us on the web, please let us know. Thanks, everybody. Enjoyed the first week, and we'll look forward to the next three as well. Talk soon.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.